We're learning the Sefer HaMidot, and I want to dedicate our learning tonight to a Jew that passed away yesterday. His name was Dr. Ivan Maurer. He was a kind Jew who helped many people. He was a warm doctor who shared his warmth, not only his medical expertise with his patients and people who knew him. And the world is missing a warm ember that warmed many hearts tonight, and his neshama should have an aliyah from our learning. We're learning a work that speaks about how to become a good and kind person, and I think that he personified much of what we're learning. So it's very fitting we should dedicate our learning to him. We're in the middle of the 12th chapter, page Pei Hei. Gam min hashamayim yazrucha v'yatrucha zer tifara. If a person knows how to understand time and knows to take advantage of the opportunities that time places before us, so then not only will he be successful in his growth, but he will find that he has a divine inspiration and divine assistance to succeed in his endeavors. And a person who knows how to gauge time and know what times are fitting for what learning and what development, a person has to know to gauge the times of the day and the times in his life cycle, and then a person will be successful in the things he tries to accomplish. A person will find his success goes smoothly without pain. Things will fall into place. They will go in a correct manner. Till a person reaches the end mark of his life in this world, and God comes to take him from this world, to take him to the upper heavens, to a world that is all good, to eat the fruits and the good of that world. And then the time that one invested in this world also is taken up with him as, so to speak, a sacrifice before Hashem. It is brought before Hashem as a source of pleasure for Hashem. Look at an individual who took proper advantage of his time. And the time, so to speak, crowns the person. Kmo sheberu chazal, as our sages explained, Ma'amar, the verse says, V'avram zaken ba bayamim, V'amelech David zaken ba bayamim. The verses describe how these people, when they became old, they were ba bayamim. They came within their days. What does it mean, came within their days? So he doesn't quote to us what Chazal say, but from the context we could understand that the understanding is something along the lines of he came within the days, meaning having utilized his days properly to that point. So then at the end of his days, when he became an old man, the time became the crowning factor of his life, where people could look and say, look at what he accomplished, look at how he knew to gauge his time. At different ages, he took advantage of different things, be it Avram, be it David. And that's the direction he's explaining in Baba Yamin. He came in his days. What does it mean, he came in his days? That at the end of a person's days, he could take his days with him and show, he has what to show for his life. And there's tremendous wisdom in what he's writing here. Because sometimes we feel like we feel there are things that we have to accomplish, and we're stubborn about accomplishing them now. And he illustrated to us last time the importance of understanding the times within life. When a child is 5 years old and his parent is pressured, he has to learn Gemara, the parent is killing him. The kid has to learn Tanakh now. Let him learn the stories of Tanakh. Let him enjoy Tanakh. When the child is 10, you could introduce him to Mishnah. He's 15, that's when he'll become a master of Talmud. You want to introduce him to Talmud at a younger age, okay, he could dabble, he could taste. But at the end of the day, the true success in Talmud comes when he's more developed. And just as trying to teach a five-year-old Talmud is going to be a futile effort, it's going to be an exercise in futility, by the same token, we have many junctures in our life where our desire would like to take us in one direction, and our intellect should tell us, wait a second, is this the correct time to make that move? Very often, a classical example can be what happens very often when people come to Machon Meir. Guys come, and they're learning for 3 months, 4 months, and they're starting to keep Shabbat, and they're starting to keep the mitzvot, and then they say, okay, now I want to get married. And it's very good. It's a positive thing that a person wants to get married. It's a normal thing that a person wants to get married. We want everyone to get married. But a person has to reach equilibrium. The fact that I want to get married now does not mean that now is the proper time for me to get married. I have to get a certain state of balance in my life, and then it makes sense for me to pursue that endeavor. It's a great idea. The question is now the correct time? And timing is everything. And he says, at the end of our days, the wisdom with which we gauged our time, that can be our crown and glory. But if a person is a traitor with regards to the times, he does not properly utilize the time the way Hashem told us to utilize the time we are allotted. As then what happens is, Hager asher bekirbecha ya'aleh alecha, is borrowing a verse from the Torah. The Torah says, if you don't take care to deal with the enemies from within, then those minimal enemies, they start off as a small clan, they will outnumber you. They will suddenly suffocate you in the land of Israel. And that, he says, Yetzer hara, is a reference to our desire to do that which is wrong. And suddenly a person finds himself, he's very busy. A person can be very busy doing nothing. And he calls it, it's a type of insanity and blindness. It's hard for a person to walk out of it. You find a person that's unemployed. So some people are trying to take advantage of the time, find employment and advance positively. Other people, they're gambling. They go to the shuk and they schmooze with people. They have the person they play chess with. They have the person they play sheshbesh, backgammon. Backgammon? That's the game, yeah? Sheshbesh. And they're very busy. And if you'll try to catch them for a minute, but right now I have to catch up on the news, and right now I have to email, and right now I have to do... Wait a second. Didn't you say you wanted a job? Very often I encounter this. People tell me they want the job, and then I get them a job interview, but they don't have time to go to the interview. And you ask yourself, wait a second, you don't know how you're covering the bills at the end of the month. How come you don't have time for the interview? What's more important for you? And the guy looks at me incredulously and says, you mean you want me to miss? I don't understand. This is my steady partner for playing chess every day. If I miss this, well, you don't understand, he looks at me. I don't understand. He's falling off his rocker. What don't I understand? His wife and children need food. I don't understand. He doesn't understand. But when a person is enveloped in wasting his time, and he's not taking proper advantage of his time, suddenly the unimportant becomes very important. And the important has no room in his life. A person can be sitting and reading the newspaper, and his wife walks in and says, honey, I want to talk to you. Now, if you'd ask him before he started reading that newspaper, what's more important? Who won the Mets game last night, or what your wife has to say to you? I'll tell you, hands down, my wife is more important. But when he's engrossed in the Mets game, suddenly, honey, just a second. But I have to talk to you. In a minute, I'll be with you. She's losing his patience, and he's losing his patience. His focus is off. A person can be on the internet, a person could be reading a newspaper, a person could be doing a lot of things that are a misuse of time, and it's giving extra weight to the unimportant. And then when the important is staring him in the face, he doesn't have the capacity to recognize it. He's too busy with the unimportant, to the point where people can sometimes develop all kinds of addictions, and they don't call them that yet, but a person can be addicted to his iPhone or his BlackBerry, being on top of the news, being on top of the stocks. We all know those people who are looking every second, they're checking their email. Or if they have a stock they bought, every second they're checking if it goes up or down. And they lose that way. Because suddenly it dips, no stock goes straight up. So it dips, so they say, uh-oh, I'm going to lose. If they have their hand on the trigger every second, so they'll pull out of the deal either at a loss or at less of a gain than they could have gotten, because every second they're ready to pull out because they're on top of it. They're not on top of it. That's not the way to invest. If you've analyzed correctly, okay, you got to be on top of your investment to a degree. But you also have to give room for the fluctuations. And if your nerves are connected to the investment, then you're not going to invest well. It's got to be analytical. It can't be a nervous game. In all of life, when you start looking closely, when you start looking at things that you shouldn't be looking at, and it could be anything, then suddenly we give extra importance to the unimportant. could be a man with his project. It could be with his hobby. It could be with smoking his cigarette. It could be with building a table. I'm building. I'm busy. I'm working. He's fixing his car. He's fixing the computer. You guys ever had that? Your computer crashes and you try to fix it. And someone tries to talk to you and you say, just a minute, I've almost got it. And you try to do this and you try to do that. And before you know it, half the night's gone and you haven't gotten anywhere. The virus keeps winning you. You're trying to remove the virus from the computer and it keeps getting back to haunt you. You guys ever have that? I had that more than once.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but I get paid to do that.
Ah, okay. Okay, so the Sefer HaMidot says if a person is a traitor with time, where he lets the enemy from within, so to speak, the incorrect desire, get the better of him, so he finds himself in a state of what we might call temporary insanity. This happened to me maybe two or three times, that I got a virus on my computer and I tried fixing it myself. And the only thing I can do, I know how to wipe out the whole hard drive and reinstall Windows. But more than that, I've never won a virus. You know, I've installed antivirus and antivirus, the key, the tool that removes the virus at the end of the day.
To me, I could have...
I might. I hope I won't have to come. I hope it won't happen again. But at the end of the day, I remember after the second or third time, a good friend of mine had a virus on his computer. I said to him, "Believe me, how much do you get paid per hour? I can bring you a technician for 250 shekel. He'll fix your computer.
200.
Okay, 200 shekel. Oh, for 200 shekel, he'll fix your computer. But believe me, if you start working on it, you're going to lose hours. Those hours could be much better spent doing your job cleaning floors. You'll make more money and you'll cover all your losses and you'll end up with a solution. Whereas if you try to fight the virus, that's not our expertise. You need someone who knows what he's doing. But when you're engrossed, when suddenly something takes hold of us, especially us men, so then it's hard for us even to find the opening. How do I get out of this? Wait, I've already invested 2 hours. Maybe this is what's going to do it. And then we end up losing another 3 hours. I'm just going to try one more thing. Just as the time of the righteous is an asset that keeps helping him grow and get bigger and bigger. So too the time of the wicked keeps pushing them down. And righteous and wicked, we often think, is a matter of a whole lifetime. Am I righteous or wicked? They once asked Rav Aryeh Levin, are you one of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim, one of the 36 hidden Tzadikim of the generation? So he said, sometimes. He said, it's not like at any given moment there are these people, and for the rest of their lives, they're the 36 Tzadikim. There can be a time in the world when you're one of the 36, and a time when he's one of the 36, and a time when I'm one of the 36. We have a medrash that says that Hashem always leaves 36 tzaddikim in a generation. There are no less than 36. So the question is, we always assume there are 36 people like Rav Aryeh Levin hidden out there somewhere among the Jewish people. Rav Aryeh Levin said no. There can be times that our actions put us in that position that we are the tzaddik of the generation. At this moment, at this day, at this interval in our life, we're living up to that potential. So when he says the way of the wicked, we think, oh, so if I waste my time, I'm a wicked person. No, there are times when we're righteous and there are times when we're less righteous. It's not a measure of my whole life. So if I wasted 3 months every night, I wasted my time on the internet, that's it, I'm a wicked person. No. It means that in those 3 months I did things that were improper, I wasted that time, I could never get that time back, and from now on I'll do better. But we have to understand that it is a downhill slope. Wasting time is a downhill slope. Life is not static. If I'm not going up, I'm going down. Ain't no two ways about it. We do look at a person as an overall person. You know, if a person's going up 8 out of 12 hours in the day, and then 4 hours out of the day is wasting the time, he's losing, but he's still going up, right? Overall, hopefully he's going up. Yes?
What if a person has wasted most of his life on a computer?
I think that's where it's time to turn around. Rabbi Akiva wasted the first 40 years of his life He wasted the first 40 years of his life hating the rabbis, saying, if you give me a rabbi, I'll bite him like a donkey. Why like a donkey? Because mm-hmm. some animals bite the flesh and some animals break the bones, and the donkey does both. He bites the flesh and breaks the bone. That's how much Rabbi Akiva hated the rabbis when he was a shepherd. And after 40 years, he turned his life around. Many giants in Jewish history began at a late age. They said, okay, till now I've wasted the time. I've gone down the wrong path, and now I'm going to go down the right path. And they became the greatest giants of Jewish history. Rabbi Akiva is the father of the oral law in many ways. All of Judaism today is thanks to Rabbi Akiva. Him and the disciples he taught. Yeah, at 40 he started learning alphabet. Kmo she'amru chazal, zikne talmidei chachamim, our sages say, the elders of the wise men, kozman she'mazkinin, datan nitvasef talen. As they age, their wisdom gets better. Zikne ha'me'aretz, kozman she'mazkinin, tifshut nitvasefet behem. The elders of the unlearned, they, as they get older, they get stupider. And that's something which you'll see. Unfortunately, you see it. It's something which I remember as a child. I remember seeing it. Even in the congregation, you see people who were stupid teenagers at 15 and stupid teenagers at 30, and they become even stupider teenagers at 70. If a person isn't going to go in a wise path in his life, then age isn't going to do it. It's a question of what we do with the time that passes. Time alone does not make us smart. That's what we began this chapter with. The mere passing of time is not going to make us smarter. Now we have to do something positive with that time, and then we grow during that time. And that was the focus of the chapter, and Be'ezrat Hashem, next time we'll finish the chapter.